When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Les Miserables, in lay terms, Les Mis, is one of the most awarded and impactful musicals of the late 20th century. Based on the 1862 novel by Victor Hugo, which was turned into a French concept album and then translated into English and expanded upon for its London West End debut in 1985, opened on Broadway in 1987, and it became an instant classic as audiences were captivated by the heart-wrenching dramas of the poor during the French Revolution, and especially by the bombastic, melodically haunting songs. Now, nearly 40 years after its debut, the great pop culture debate wants to determine the best Les Miserables song of all time. Just like Jean Valjean and Oprah, I love bread! Wee wee, baguette. I'm your host, Eric Resniak. Please help me welcome my panelists for this episode. Our first panelist can swear before God he has nothing to fear, he has nothing to hide. It's Bob Erlenbach, who is also the Patreon sponsor for this episode.
Eric, I was in the back room of the club last night, and as I looked down, I said, "Ugh, just bring him home."
Look down upon your fellow man, Bob.
Yeah,
I bet you will. Next, there's a grief that can't be spoken. There's a pain that goes on and on. And our next panelist knows it better than anyone. It's Curtis Creekmore.
It's called My Lower Back, and every night is a night of anguish. I'd build a barricade for an ibuprofen.
Curtis, let me tell you something. The tiger bomb comes at night. Finally, she's ready for these schoolboys. It's Joelle Bodecker.
You're all going to wet yourselves with blood.
I'm not really into that, but please direct me to the free-for-all. In the interest of time, we're going to skip the preamble, which you can now find in bonus primers on our feed. But do head to greatpopculturedebate.com and find the listener bracket for this episode so you can play along with us at home. And with that out of the way, let's storm the Bastille and move on to these debates. First, it's another day, another destiny, for ultimate number one seed One Day More, which had a unanimous decision over four seed Confrontation, but Bob did want to speak about Confrontation. Bob, take it.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention about Confrontation real quick before we moved on, before we just threw it away. Confrontation is a lot of fun. I love to sing it in the car. I love to sing both parts. I love to try to sing both parts simultaneously, which is next to impossible. But it's the two characters, Javert and Valjean, singing, I think the term is counterpoint. Is that correct? Am I using that word correctly? But they're singing counterpoint, different verses on top of one another. And the reason I think it's so much fun is because I love to sing both parts at the same time. But if you Google it, you can find a lot of fun videos of people, celebrities in general, like singing it on like talk shows and things like that. Most notably, Neil Patrick Harris and Jason Segel back in their How I Met Your Mother's days. During like every interview that they were together.
We say on this show.
On this show, it's Himyam. They would sing it on like every talk show they possibly could, because the interviewer was always thinking they were so clever. Oh, I hear there's this fun thing that you two do together. Could you do it for us? Anyway, it's a lot of fun if you Google it. That's all.
Well, thank you. That is a much more entertaining explanation than the song for me, so I appreciate that. We'll get into this as we go along. Anything having to do with Javert is a boo for me. Literally anything. So when we get into the rubrics, we'll talk about that more. But like literally as soon as he's there, boot, gone. Next, the majority of the panel wants to keep accompanying 3-seed Do You Hear the People Sing to round 2. But I want to keep counting the blessings of 2-seed at the end of the day. Curtis, keep shouting the songs of angry men in support of Sing. I will do my best to save end of the day. Curtis, why don't you go first?
This was honestly a really hard choice for me because they're both really great, so I could easily be swayed here. I love how Do You Hear the People Sing sounds so patriotic. The marching drum underneath the music gives you a sense that you're marching to war alongside your compatriots. You're prepared to fight for your freedom. The lyrics are beautiful and they're powerful. Will you give all you can give so that our banner may advance? Like, you can't listen to this song and not be like moved to do something, and maybe it's to go slap somebody. I don't know. That's pretty much what happens when I listen to this album. The revolutionaries knew that so many of them would die, but they were willing to take the chance anyway because they couldn't go on living in their status quo. And I just feel like you can't help but be or feel uplifted and invigorated after hearing this song. So that's why I voted for it.
The French are glad to die for love, as Satine tells us in another French set movie. But anyway, a great argument. And yes, this is a hard one. We only have 16 songs. And just so people understand, we put together the list by each putting our own favorites, ranking them. And there's really not a bad one on the top 16. This is a crappy matchup because they're both, I think, iconic Les Mis songs, and they're both super catchy songs. At the end of the day, really kind of sums up the pathos of Les Mis for me, which is everything is awful. All of us are going to die, and when will death come? If there is not an all-lesbian band called Les Miserables, someone has missed their calling in life. It's just that's why I love At the End of the Day. It's peppy, and it's all about how completely depressed everyone is, and that's going to get it for me. Bob, where are you on this?
I'm with Do You Hear the People Sing. I'm with everything that Curtis said. It is an uplifting. It is a bring you as the audience member into the throes of what's going on with them. It really pulls you in. And it's one of, yes, they're both pretty iconic songs, but I do think that Do You Hear the People Sing is the more iconic song in this matchup, and it is one of the songs you walk away singing, so I'm sticking with that.
Joelle, where are you?
Yeah, it's a bop, Do You Hear the People Sing. As far as bops go in Les Mis, I think. It's tough because they're both ensemble versus ensemble, but I'm with Do You Hear the People Sing for the exact reasons Curtis and Balburn mentioned. Like, it's almost inspiring, almost. Obviously, it's inspiring people to go and just, you know, die in the war or whatever, the battle. But it's inspiring. I was watching the scene from the movie, which I know we don't talk about the movie.
But I talk about it.
That was a good part of that movie. That scene, like, gave me chills watching it. I just loved it. Maybe it's just Aaron Tveit's face. Just... starting.
Yes,
I would probably
wave
die for him.
Flag.
I mean, I'm just.
To be fair, folks, she did say that you will wet yourself. I just don't think that's exactly what they were meaning.
Not with blood.
Exactly. Okay, so it sounds like Do You Hear the People Sing is advancing into round two. Next, it's another unanimous decision, as one seed I Dreamed a Dream said there was no ransom to be paid for four seed In My Life. And in a role reversal, now Dream has killed the life I lifed? Whatever. The panel is evenly split between 3-seed Castle on a Cloud and 3-seed, oop, that can't be right, to Bring Him Home, Bob on High. Bring Him Home is young. He is afraid. But don't let him rest, pushing him to round two. Joelle, crying at all is not allowed as you make your defense of Castle on a Cloud. Oh, that's a rhyme. Bob, you go first.
So for my rubric, as we talk about those pretty often there, when I think about Les Mis songs in general and what makes one good for this show is I love character moments in this show. And I think that's really what this show is about. These are both single songs for each character, obviously. But some of the other things I think about is if the lyrics bring insight, motivation of the character, does it offer any sort of pivotal moment in the show? Is there the emotional weight of that? And I think both of them have that on a certain degree. But when you talk about the absolute, like, weight of emotion from this show, one of the highest moments in the show, featuring some of the highest notes in the show, it is Bring Him Home. And it brings us the highest emotional moments of the show. Like I mentioned, it's basically a prayer sung for their survival of Marius, who's fallen in love with Cosette. It's sung by Jean Valjean, Valjean's adoptive daughter. It really showcases some inner conflict, some of his moral growth. I think this song really shows that he has kind of moved on from being that hardened ex-convict. He's more compassionate. He's a selfless man. He's doing everything in the service of Marius and Cosette in that moment, which up until that point, he was really doing most of the things in service to himself. There were moments throughout taking Cosette from Fantine and from the Thénardiers, whatever. Those were all moments of him making good for himself and making himself more, not necessarily for them in general, so to speak. But it's really a demanding song. It's a beautiful song when sung well. It just keeps the auditorium silent. So that's where I am.
Okay, thank you. Joelle, talk to us about Castle on a Cloud.
So on the exact opposite note of the like the height of somebody's emotions, we have a very simple girl that just has very simple needs. She wants to be loved and she wants toys and she doesn't want to have to work for every single moment of her life. It is the song that introduced me. Maybe that's why I have a bit of a bias towards it. Introduced me to Les Mis. I was 11, I think, when I first heard it. That was my song. I used to sing it just running around. It was later in life that some of the other songs actually impacted me more, but this was the first. And I think that's actually important because that introduces young kids to Broadway and gets them interested in musicals. So being able to see a character that you're trying to understand and don't understand how her life is like this and the world is so complicated, it was eye-opening for me and I imagine for lots of young kids. Yeah.
Interesting. Curtis, where are you on this one?
I hate children. that's legitimately my argument here. I struggle with child voices. I have always really disliked Castle on a Cloud for that reason. I'm not a huge fan of Bring Him Home, but I'm going to push it forward anyway.
It's funny, Joelle, that you're like, I had never known children could live like this. And as Bob will attest, I was Cosette. I was the poor country version. Here's my reasons for liking Castle on a Cloud. Number one, this is the scene where the actual icon from Les Mis is taken. The waif sweeping that's the emblem, right? It doesn't matter if I vote for it or not because I believe that Bring Him Home is a two seed, so mm-hmm. Bring Him Home would advance. And there you go. Bring Him Home.
But we do tiebreakers in a mini.
Oh, you're right.
So you have to decide if you're giving it up or not.
Since you are our Patreon sponsor, Bob, I'm going to give you the right of first tiebreak. Which one goes forward?
Bring Him Home.
Bring Him Home. Okay.
Bring it home, baby.
Bring It Home is moving on to round two. Next in a battle of revolutionary songs, the panel is currently leaning toward one seed Empty Chairs at Empty Tables, meaning that it's about to be all black for four seed Red and Black. Joelle, do your best to color block Empty Tables by pushing Red and Black. Curtis, open up Open Table and book us a round two reservation for Empty Chairs. Joelle, you go first.
So this is another one of those, and that's going to happen a lot in this entire bracket, but this is another one where these two feel like they're in the same, well, they literally take place in the same space, if I recall. Yeah. They both happen in the cafe. And so Red and Black is more of the like inspirational, we're going to fight and we are going to go forward with this versus Empty Chairs and Empty Tables is incredibly sad and beautiful, of course, but incredibly sad. So I picked this one because I thought, you know, we could use some highlights, use some sort of like positive vibes for a moment, maybe cut the show off before everyone dies and just enjoy the start and not the end. I like the first acts of many musicals. Let me put that out there.
Sure.
But no, I think it's beautifully performed. The character whose name I've never been able to pronounce, but the friend of Marius.
Engorgels. Like, I don't know how to pronounce
it. I even looked it up. Engorgels. Sure. It's not a name. It's not a name that makes sense to me.
Nope.
And I never knew it after all these years I looked it up. But that character finally gets his song with, you know, a lot of ensemble people supporting him. I will not be mad that Empty Chairs goes forward, but I just wanted to fight for, I wanted to fight for Red and Black.
You wanted to fight for Red and Black and that character whose name is basically a bunch of Scrabble tiles that are just sitting on your thing ready to be used.
It's really cruel. Like Victor Hugo really could have thought ahead on that one and named him something
Seriously.
Else.
Seriously. Curtis, talk to me about Empty Chairs and Empty Tables.
I actually don't really care for Red and Black. I find it repetitive and kind of boring. Which is funny because I can see what you're saying, Joelle, where it's like similar to my argument for Do You Hear the People Sing? It's like what's the phrase that I'm thinking of? Hype song. Mm-hmm. It's like the hype song to get yep. people ready for battle. But this one kind of falls flat for me. And while it's a bit of a precursor, like you were mentioning for DYHTPS, Do You Hear the People Sing? It just doesn't have the same... it just doesn't have the same gravitas or effect that that song does. Empty Chairs, on the other hand, is heart-wrenching, beautiful, sung by the sole survivor of said battle. The lyrics are painfully beautiful and touching. The orchestration is melancholy, and it swells with his emotions, which I think is really a cool way to put that together as he's processing the loss of his friends who died standing up for what they believe in. To me, this really isn't much of a battle, and I think it's 3-1, so do I need to keep going?
Well, let's see what Bob has to say. Bob, where are you on this?
There is a grief that can be spoken in despairing. And I'm with Empty Chairs and Empty Tables. It is my Broadway karaoke song. I agree with what Curtis said about Red and Black. I think we don't need Red and Black and Do You Hear the People Sing? I think there's a redundancy to that. So it's just Do You Hear Dish Pish or whatever we're calling it.
You gotta hype people before they go die. You gotta keep bringing them forward.
It's just a better song. So that, Empty Chairs, Empty Tables.
It's interesting because I initially voted for Empty Chairs here, which I think is one of the better You Fucked Around and Now You Found Out songs in this show. But I, listening to everything again, I actually do like Red and Black quite a bit, Joelle. I will say that. But I also agree with the argument that you don't need both this and Do You Hear the People Sing in the bracket. And so even though we're trying to lighten up the mood in a debate about a show called Les Miserables.
It's right in the title, folks.
It's right there. It tells you exactly what you're going to get. I'm going to keep it with Empty Chairs. So Empty Chairs will move into round two. Next, the panel is evenly split between two of my favorite subjects, hookers and revenge. Bob, tell us about the divine retribution of Javert's Stars, a 2-seed. While I work hard for the money, there is money, right? As I defend 3-seed Lovely Ladies. Bob, you go first.
So you said some things about Javert at the beginning. I have, from the very beginning, stood by the fact that Javert is the most tragic and best character in all of Les Miserables. Maybe not as tragic as Eponine at certain moments. But anyway, I've stood by that part. And I think Stars is one of the best songs because it shows it's beautiful. It's haunting. It has a wonderful melody and lyrics, this ballad that he's singing, where this character is so fixated on what's wrong, justice, faith, truth, everything. He spends his entire life pursuing a man who stole a loaf of bread and broke a window pane. He from the confrontation, we know that he comes from the same background as Valjean, and he can't stand that, you know, he made good, and he can't stand that somebody else can't pull themselves up and be better in their life. He can't stand that there might be other ways to go in life. He can't fathom that the criminal world, somebody from that world can make good. The very concept would shake everything about his existence. And I think that's really what this song is about. The stars are about, they're the sentinels, as he says. They are unchanging, tried and true. They keep watch in the night. This is how he sees himself as a person. And if they fall, like Lucifer fell, they fall in flame. Anyway, they end in demise. And he cannot even with this. So I think the symbolism and the emotion and everything you get from that, and when somebody is singing the song and does it on point, there is a pin drop in that auditorium. You are completely silent, just totally floored by what's happening in front of you. Maybe that's just my opinion because everyone else on this panel seems to hate Javert. But anyway, when it comes to that, I think that's where I am. And Lovely Ladies is a lovely song. It's about hookers and whores, and that's great. But it doesn't really feature the character development and kind of pushing a character forward in what they're going to do within this show. It is really just a kind of a montage tale that's telling us kind of what's going on with Fantine in that moment. So
Well, first of all, let me say I respect your opinions on Javert. Yeah. I agree with your thoughts on the song in terms of like it can be very powerful. I especially like the lines about Lucifer and fall. Like that's the only moment in that song that actually hooks me. But the rest of it is a flat out boo urns for me. And I am not here for the Javert retribution hour. Like I understand where you're coming from, but he's like the Frank Grimes of this show. He's so fixated on this person that he pisses away his life. He's a terrible person. Like he's a bad guy.
It
literally
is so miserable. Like
yeah.
I don't know.
There is nothing in his life.
There is nothing in his life worth anything. He needs this.
Get a hobby, girl. Like get like look, talk to the whores. Like get some ass.
Miserable.
And maybe he'll be like, maybe I don't have to stalk this man who stole a piece of bread.
All right, Eric, get to the whores. Get to the whores.
Okay, thank you. All right. So as much as I am the no Javert's club, I am the absolute yes hookers club. Plucky whores. That's what I have to say. Every time you will get a vote for me when it's plucky whores. This show is so depressing. Thank God for these prostitutes who are like, you guys, everything is terrible. Let's bring on the pep rally. Because this song, it is catchy, much like Venereal Disease. You can't stop singing it. I will disagree with Bob in that he's like, nothing is happening in the song. That's not true. Fantine is literally being led into not only prostitution during the song, she's also selling her hair. She's selling her necklace. Like, this woman is being
her
stripped
teeth.
Of everything. Everything's
nothing
being
like
taken
a hummer
from
a gummer.
Exactly. Everything is being taken from her. And yet the hookers are there. They are singing. They're peppy. And I love it. There are some vicious reads in the song as well. And a terrific final line. Don't they know they're making love to one already dead? Which is what I ask about all my prey. So with that being said, Curtis, where are you?
Oh, my goodness. So two things. Number one, I am realizing that this could be called Les Resniak instead of Les Miserables. This is truly your family's musical.
It really is.
Number two, we call them sex workers now, Eric.
That's fair. Thank you. Much respect to sex workers.
Number three, there were three things. I also hate Javert and I don't like stars. I think it's overwrought. So I vote for Lovely Ladies.
Joelle, where are you?
I don't remember what I originally voted for. I have a feeling I voted for stars, and that's because my husband really likes stars and he's a big Javert fan. I didn't think much of him. I thought he was the villain and, you know, I don't like villains. That's a known thing with me. But he told me more about Javert, and a lot of what Bob said is exactly what I learned in the last, I don't know, decade or whatever. He was mansplaining to me. It is what it is. But that said, Eric, you make a really good point. Let's do it for the sex workers. I think they need a voice. We got rid of at the end of the day already. They have nothing else after this. So let's keep them on.
Lovely Ladies, we'll move on to round two. Next, the majority of the panel wants to stand with One Seed On My Own, but Curtis has deep feelings about Four Seed A Heart Full of Love. Curtis, open your heart to me, as well as to the audience, about why love should survive into round two. I will explain that while the world will go on turning if On My Own leaves the bracket, maybe it shouldn't. Curtis, you go first.
I am not delusional enough to think that I'm going to convince anyone to switch their vote here, but I at least wanted to give this song the flowers that it deserves. The number is a trio performed by Marius, Cosette, and Eponine, and centers around the theme of unrequited love. Marius and Cosette have only just met, but they're already falling in love somehow, while Eponine, who has loved Marius for as long as she can remember, watches secretly from the side as the two lovebirds are singing about their new feelings for each other. It's like Middle School, the musical, but it is a truly beautiful song. The lyrics are lovely, but what made me fall in love with the song the first time that I heard it was, you would think that I would know the musical term. I'm going to call it polyphony. The polyphony at the end of the number when all three singers are carrying their own part over top of each other. I love that in musicals. They do it a lot in The Phantom of the Opera as well, and I adore it there too. It's so pretty. The number swells to a close with this beautiful angelic chord, half made of joy and half made of sorrow. And this, of course, immediately leads into the song that it's up against, which is a powerful piece as well, but I'm sticking with A Heart Full of Love.
That's lovely. It's Up Against On My Own, yeah. Which is, say what you will about Eponine, she is the queen of the friend zone. She is mm-hmm. a Bad News Buffet. She is and always will be the queen of misery. And if you're looking at karma, arguably she deserves it because her parents are terrible people. But this is a beautiful song. It's one of the songs that first captured my attention when I heard Les Mis for the first time. It's just sweeping. It is aching. It is evocative. It's soaring. You get the right singer in this one. And I mean, Bob mentioned Stars brings a pin drop to the theater. Like, On My Own to me is one of the most evocative songs in the show. It's really sad. Like, Eponine is tragic, but it's also one of those where you want to smack her upside the head and be like, girl, get a grip. But it's a beautiful song. Bob, where are you on this one?
Good God, girl, get a grip. So that's where I am, on my own.
Great. Joelle, where are you?
I have a lot more defense coming up later on my own, so I'm just going to stick with On My Own. I think that means it goes forward.
Thank you. So On My Own will continue. It is interesting how some of these were paired up with obvious logical choices. That was not mm-hmm. something we did deliberately. I guess it was just in the stars, Javert. Finally, in round one, the majority of the panel wants to continue to serve two-seed Master of the House, but Bob is having an existential crisis by supporting three-seed Who Am I? Joelle, get everyone to raise a glass, possibly up the master's ass, and support House. Bob, search yourself for the answer to Who Am I? Bob, why don't you go first?
Generally, I love an oom-pa-pa type of song. Generally, oom-pa-pa in Oliver is better than this. I just don't like Master of the House. It is the song I skip every time I listen to the album. I get what it's doing. I understand the levity, the fun, the humor that it brings to Les Misérables, the Miserables. It doesn't feature the hallmarks of what I want from my Les Mis songs, which is not misery necessarily, is not male pain, as Eric Wolf put it. But
I haven't even mentioned it yet, but yes, that's absolutely true.
Character focused, character driven, character development. Those are the things that I love so much about this show. And I do love Master of the House for what it is doing and for the moment it brings us in Act One. But it just doesn't resonate beyond that. You certainly can hum it and walk away singing it, but it doesn't move me forward emotionally anyway in this show. And for a show that is so focused on emotions and just misery, again, misery, right? The emotions, that's what I want from the song. And I'm thinking about, again, when you talk about best Les Mis song, they are, yes, all Les Miserables songs because they're in the show. But the hallmarks to me are there for Who Am I, which is really for him, for Valjean, really that moment of who is he going to be, the existential crisis, as you put it. It is a very interesting dilemma and predicament that he is in that moment, that he could let somebody else take the fall for him, but he makes decisions that grow him as a character. And that's why I love that song.
Okay. You're making very good arguments for these. I just want to make that very clear. Joelle, talk to us about Master of the House.
So all the things Bob said about Master of the House, but like in reverse, in that I welcome it. I think, again, going back to like the show is sad. Everything leading up to Master of the House is sad. Castle in the Cloud preceded this. That is a sad, sad song. And then you get this just, you know, oom-bop-bop break, whatever we're calling that.
Oom-pa-pa.
I'm sorry. I Hansoned it. I'm very sorry about that.
Don't be
Hansen
sorry.
Hansen in Les Mis. When is it happening?
I'm here for it.
Well, the Jonases did it, right?
They did.
Or at least one of them.
At least
yeah, there
did.
You go. One of them. And we'll talk. Maybe we'll talk about that later. but no, I think Master of the House, it introduces these characters that are pivotal to that part of the show. I think that then they're just silly side characters after that. But it's important to know where Cosette has been and what she's up against. And at the same time, you can kind of get a little like these people are silly and also awful human beings, and the complicated kind of push and pull of every character. It just lays that out very well for me. As a kid, again, going back to me being a child listening to this first time, this is one of my favorites, of course. It was fun. I would sing it around the house, like not knowing the actual story behind it, just enjoying the tune. And I think the way it's been performed over the years, I think there are certain people that have just done a fantastic job with it. I again, going back to that movie, I'm sorry I keep mentioning it, because there are exactly four scenes in that movie that are good, and this is hitting one of them. This is fantastic. So I don't know. I don't have as a big defense for it, but I like it.
I think that was a perfectly good defense. Curtis, where are you?
I'm not a big fan of Who Am I? Again, it's just a little bit too much. And everything that we've been saying so far, Master of the House kind of falls into that. It's not necessarily moving story forward or developing a character, except these side characters who are like, they're a decent part of the whole story, and they are terrible people. And I've also kind of, the movie is my go-to Les Mis like reference, and Sacha Baron Cohen and Helena Bonham Carter kill it. Like, they are part of what make that movie special. So I am going to vote for Master of the House.
Okay. I'm voting for Master of the House here. Bob did reference male pain. Another one of my rubrics is I can listen to women like break their hearts until the end of time and be like, yes, you go, girl. Meryl Streep gif. Like, yes, yes. And then as soon as a man starts it, I was like, oh my God, enough. And so it's not fair. It's sexism in reverse. I don't know.
Maybe something to work through in therapy. Yeah.
I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting, the show that is literally by definition, oh, this is too much, we're saying, let's get rid of the song that's too much. But anyway.
Well, if it was up against something else, I might consider it more. But it's up against Master of the House, which is, it has a funky beat and you can dance to it. No, but it also, I do think it's a fun song. It is a different song for this show. We have plenty of bummers and very few bangers, and that's why I'm going to put Master of the House forward into round two. That is the end of round one. We're going to take a quick break so we can get away from the French Revolution's answer to the T-1000. We'll be right back after these messages.
$5 can't buy you much these days. In the 90s, a Big Mac extra value meal rang in at $4.59. Today, the same meal will cost you $7.89 and leave you filled with regret. You know who would never do that to you? The Great Pop Culture Debate. For just $5 a month, our Patreon supporters gain access to a treasure trove of unaired content, like those secret fries at the bottom of the bag. So if you're hungry for some delicious pop culture content, pass on the Big Mac and head to greatpopculturedebate.com to become a Patreon supporter today. Aw, now I'm hungry.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we are back for round two of our best Les Miserables song debate. Before we get into the Elite Eight, I want our panelists to share their social media accounts and also let us know the first time you saw or heard Les Mis. Bob, I'm going to start with you.
You'll find me at DisNerdBob on almost any social platform you want to look for me, and you can yell at me there about anything I've said on this podcast. My first experience with misery was, no, I'm just kidding, with Les Miserables was at the Krauss-Heinz Theater in Syracuse, New York, as part
Elegance.
Of the famous artist Broadway series that would come there with Murray, whatever his name was.
Oh my God, that's a name I haven't heard of forever. Yeah.
You know, shout out to Murray, rest in peace. But
yeah, R.I.P.
I, I loved it from the jump. I was in junior high school. I think we may have been doing Oliver at the time.
Oh, God.
Eric, in
high
school.
So that would have been your freshman year, my sophomore year.
Okay, so ninth grade maybe. Okay. Anyway, and I just loved it from the jump, and I begged my mom to find tickets to see it again that same week because it was only in town for the week, and I don't think we ended up seeing it again, but I've seen the show a countless number of times, and I do enjoy the movie. Minus Russell Crowe. But go ahead.
Mm.
Next.
No, it's great. Curtis, what are your socials and the first experience you had with Les Miserables?
Yeah, I'm on pretty much everything at Kurt Itch, CURTITCH. I am leaving Twitter, X, Bird, nonsense. Fuck it. I'm out.
As we all are, by the way, the podcast is off-ramping from Twitter. We've had enough.
So you can, I really don't do social media very much and spend all my time on this podcast. Mm-hmm. I honestly can't remember the first time that I experienced this musical. I'm sure I probably heard some of the music at some point in my gay little life. But I know watching the movie was the first time that I really saw a performance. I haven't seen it actually performed in person. And it was honestly, for all of its many faults, an amazing show. Like it's very well done. We don't talk about Russell Crowe. What were they thinking? There's a line in The Last 5 Years, which is one of my favorite musicals. And I don't know if it's for the movie version of The Last 5 Years. I can't remember if it's in the original. Probably not. But Anna Kendrick's character says she's performing. She's auditioning for a musical on Broadway. And she says, these are the people who cast Russell Crowe in a musical. What the fuck? Like, why am I trying so hard, basically? So that's kind of, that's it.
Take that, Russell Crowe.
And all your millions.
Exactly. Joelle, what are your socials? And what's the first experience you had with Les Mis?
I'm just going to go with that. I don't even know anymore what my socials are because I just don't use most of them. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if people want to hang out with me, I'm on Discord like 90% of my life at this point. So you should join the Patreon and join the Discord.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you want to follow my podcast, we do have a social media. We don't have a presence on social media, but we do use it to post things. And that's the Pocket Pod, everywhere you find Pocket Pods.
Pockets and podcasts. It started out as an Animal Crossing podcast, but it is no longer exclusively an Animal Crossing podcast.
Yeah, because there's not a whole lot of Animal Crossing to talk about. So we just talk about video games, like mostly Nintendo games in general. And sometimes we talk about animals and things about crossing with them and
Legos.
Yeah. We talk about Legos. Like, you know, there are Animal Crossing Legos, and now there's going to, you know, now we're talking about other Legos. Whatever, you know, just fun stuff.
Fun stuff. Talk to us about your experience with Les Mis.
So I was introduced to Les Mis by my brother. He got the CD. He's 3 years older, so he got the CD, and then he was like, you might like this, and he was playing some songs, and I realized I had already heard some of these songs before because my friends were singing them and all the time, specifically Castle on a Cloud, because I was a young girl. I just, all these songs were fantastic. I only knew like 5 or 6. I don't think he had me listen to the entire, you know, 30 songs or whatever. But I definitely fell in love with certain songs over the years, and On My Own was one of them. I loved all the Gavroche stuff. Every time he popped up, he was my favorite. Again, child view, mm-hmm. Curtis. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's a child view. Looking back now, I think there's a lot more powerful stuff in there, but I didn't know it until later. I first saw Les Mis in my 20s. Like, it was... like, I just didn't have a chance before then. And it was a local DC production. And I think it traveled after that, but it was in the round. It was like in a really cool like theater where everyone stared right at you in the eyes. I got to really engage with the revolutionaries during that performance. It was terrifying.
I can only imagine that would actually be really intense.
It was really intense.
Yeah. Thank you. So for me, you can find me at Eric Resniak on Instagram. That's R-E-Z as in zebra, S as in snake, N as in Nancy, Y-A-K. But really, you should just message at Great Pop Culture Debate on Insta or TikTok or at GPCD on Mastodon or Blue Sky. As we mentioned, we are getting rid of Twitter. We have had it. We've had enough. So my first exposure to Les Mis, we sang in high school chorus. Do you remember this, Bob?
Sure do.
Medley of Les Mis. Mm-hmm. And that was really where I first became introduced to the songs. And so I became a big fan of the music without having seen the show until flash forward to 1999, when myself, Bob, Take a Drink, and Kate Reculia, also on this podcast, saw it on Broadway. And we paid what was at the time considered top dollar, $75 tickets for the absolute last row of the theater. That is not an exaggeration.
In the balcony.
And it was like, what is happening on that stage? It was like they were a football field away. And you love the music. And we're getting into it. And I was like, God, this is a really sad show. And then you get to the part with Gavroche going over the barricades. And they shoot a child. I was like, I've had it. I have had it with this. As an adult, I've come to appreciate it more. It's an incredible work of the theatrical arts. The music is amazing. Like, it really is. And it's incredibly French, right? There is something about it that feels very authentically French. But I am certainly more of a fan of the music than I am of the show itself. So with that being said, let us move into round two before I lose my yellow ticket. First, another unanimous vote for One Seed, One Day More. Which silenced three seed do you hear the people sing? Or what do we call it? Dish piss? Is that what it is?
Dit piss?
Diet
D-Y-H-T-P-S?
Diet piss.
Diet piss.
Dish piss.
Hashtag dish piss. Next, the majority of the panel wants us to hit snooze and let one seed, I Dreamed a Dream, sleep into round three. But Bob wants some action, and for two seed, bring him home to advance. Bob, let him live. Curtis, use your voice as soft as thunder to push forward Dream. I'm going to have Curtis go first.
So I lied earlier when I said that I hadn't really heard any of the music before, whenever. I sang Bring Him Home my senior year of high school for a regional music competition, and I received a score of distinguished from the judges, and I am pretty sure that my performance was the pinnacle for that piece.
Distinguished was code for obvious homosexual for those listening.
Sure, we'll go with that.
A pleasure to have in class.
Right? Oh my God, how many of those did I get? This is probably one of the toughest matchups in the whole bracket. You could have told me that this was the top two, and I would have believed you. They are both huge numbers by two of the major characters in the entire show. They are both full of longing for something. One is pleading for God to save a young man, and the other one is a wish for an easier, better life. I give my vote to I Dreamed a Dream because I think it's the more enjoyable song, as enjoyable as Ripping Your Heart Out can be. I think most people who have performed this song have done a spectacular job with it. They hit all the right emotional notes throughout it. And actually, I think that's another reason that IDAD is superior to BHH. Bring Him Home. BHH
I'm loving
is...
what's happening right here. Go on.
Nerdiest
Dish
conversation
piss.
About Les Mis I've ever experienced.
BHH is emotionally one note to me. Bring Him Home is emotionally one note. It is a big note, sure, but IDAD gives you levels of hopefulness that is mixed with distraught, then ending with being just absolutely shattered, where I feel like Bring Him Home is just kind of, it's pleading the whole time. You know, he's begging, but I don't know. I go with I Dreamed a Dream.
Okay. Bob, talk to us about Bring Him Home.
I don't have a ton more to say about Bring Him Home that I didn't already previously say. I think, again, it hits all of the hallmarks of a song, but I would say that I Dreamed a Dream also hits the same hallmarks that I've been talking about throughout this podcast. I think from emotion and lyrics, they are probably neck and neck with one another. I just think from a song itself, the sophistication of the song, the construction, the ability, the skill needed to perform Bring Him Home and to perform it well is a higher bar to clear musically than I Dreamed a Dream. I do agree that I Dreamed a Dream is probably the more I want to sing this in my car than Bring Him Home. Yes, I do listen to Les Mis in the car.
Sure.
But I just think from a song itself, it is a better song in general for those reasons. And I have such a warm spot for Colm Wilkinson, who was the original Jean Valjean, and his performance both on the recording and seeing him perform it live. having seen him perform it live, I just, it really carries a lot of nostalgia for me and emotion for me. So there maybe is some of that factoring in here too. I think they are both beautiful and wonderful songs. Just, I guess, pick your poison.
Which, does anyone die by poison in this show? I don't know. Maybe it's one of a few ways they don't.
That's the one that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Joelle, where are you?
I just want to argue that it's really hard to compare skill to this song when one is performed by a woman and one is performed by a man, and they have different registers and different, like, just skills. Patti LuPone performed this song.
Yep.
So I don't want to hear it that this one's easier to sing. I'm sorry.
And she LuPone.
No.
She LuPone.
Well, here's the thing too, is I think that they are both similar also in regards as to they are both difficult to sing. The highs are very high and the lows are very low. So you have to have a huge range for both of these songs.
Yeah.
So maybe you got me on that. So very well, Joelle.
Calling you out, Bob.
So I wasn't alluding either of them being due to being a female or a male song. They just happen to be by them. So anyway.
Sure. I was on the fence on this one, and actually it was definitely Curtis, your argument that kind of drove it for me, because I think that I Dreamed a Dream has a little bit more to it in the story. I think this is the last time she had so little airspace in this show, and this is her, you know, moment to then just, you know, die. It's a peak for me, as opposed to Bring Him Home. We've heard from Valjean quite a bit at this point. This is one of his last moments. It's beautiful. It makes you just want to tear your heart out and cry. But you think about Fantine for the rest of the show because of this song. So I think it has more, like, push through the show. I don't know what word I'm looking for, but that.
Okay. Yeah. I can see what you're saying there. Bob, please don't hate me. I feel really bad because so many of your picks are being weeded out of this bracket, and you're the goddamn sponsor for this episode. It is like Les Miserables for you. Like, everything's terrible.
I came for the misery. I stayed for the laughs.
That should be our new catchphrase. But for me, as we mentioned, Male Pain, not for me. So that's a ding in the Bring Him Home column. But also, like, I love Fantine. She is tragic, but in, like, not like a fashion way. Like, she's, like, legitimately tragic. And, you know, it's all gotten to her, the poverty, the depravity, the peeing in the streets. And it's just, she's crushed by it all. And it's, I just think it's magical. It's one of my favorite songs, and I need musical theater, so I'm giving it to I Dreamed a Dream.
Peeing in the Streets is magical, Eric.
It is.
And I'm going to change my vote.
Oh my God. You're changing it to Bring Him Home?
I am changing my vote to Bring It Home. Bring Him Home, because...
Why?
As I was thinking about it, when I first started, like, when I first prepared my argument for this, Bring Him Home was like, oh, he's complaining. Like, he wants to save a man who he doesn't really know. And I hadn't really thought about why. Like, why is he singing this song? Why does he care about this boy that he barely knows? And it's because he's on his way out. He knows that he doesn't have much longer, but he wants his daughter to be happy, and he wants to secure a future for her. So he's pleading to God and anybody that's listening to bring home this man that he knows will take care of the one thing that he cares about in his life, which is his daughter. And I don't think that necessarily makes it more important than I Dreamed a Dream. This is the impossible choice. Like, these are both amazing. Joelle, you go. What do you have to say?
Literally everything you just said is also the story of I Dreamed a Dream. It is her, like, explaining what she had hoped for her daughter, for her life, for the man that left her. Like,
so let's just move Cosette forward. How about that?
All these people are trying to save
one day more versus Cosette.
So just...
But also because Bob hasn't gotten a single fucking choice.
Don't do that. That's fine.
People in Les Mis just suffer and die. It's
clearly
okay.
that is today's theme on
Cue
Sesame
the sniper.
Street.
You got it in there.
I got it.
All right, Bob. I was trying to do you solid, but never mind. I'm just gonna dream my dream, and we're gonna.
I'm happy to have I Dreamed a Dream with us into the next round.
Okay.
Let's iDad together.
Then we shall.
We're going to iDad together.
iDad.
Hashtag dish
Excuse
piss.
Me while I go dish piss for a second. Anyway, we got to move on, folks. We got to move on.
Yeah. Next, I believe it's another unanimous decision in favor of one seed empty chairs at empty tables over the singing whores of three seed lovely ladies.
Sex workers, Eric.
Thank you. I was about to say.
Who are you, Danny DeVito?
Yes. If you didn't get rid of the sex workers, you wouldn't have empty seats. Everybody loves a sex worker. Mm. But anyway, empty chairs at empty tables moves forward. Finally, in round two, it looks like we have one more unanimous decision, this time for one seat on my own, which proved it was better off than two seat master of the house. I don't know what I was trying to say there in my script. But anyway, on my own is advancing into round three. With that, we have our final four. We're going to take another quick break so I can sell my hair to support a tragic waif. We'll be right back after these messages.
Do you suffer from FOMOphobia? That's the fear of missing out on important events that connect you to the world. You don't want to be the only person at work not talking about the most recent episode of the show everyone's dying to watch, right? Why not sign up for the Great Pop Culture Debate's free weekly newsletter? You'll get a curated list of upcoming releases in TV, music, film, and games, so you'll never be left out of the conversation. Avoid the FOMO. Head to greatpopculturedebate.com and subscribe today.
And we are back with the final four of our Best Les Miserables Song Debate. At this point of the show, I always like to take a step back and see if the final four matches up with what I figured. We have all number one seeds in the final. That actually doesn't happen that often on this show, so it's kind of a minor miracle. It's One Day More versus I Dreamed a Dream, Empty Chairs at Empty Tables versus On My Own. I think three out of four of those are songs that I absolutely saw here. I think they're all like the big epics that you expect. I know everybody else loves Empty Chairs and Empty Tables. It's just not for me, but I think it deserves to be here. Bob, you're the Patreon sponsor for this episode. Does this make sense to you?
Absolutely not. But that's okay. just kidding. These are fine. These are all wonderful, wonderful representatives of this musical.
Great. Okay, so let's jump right into it. It's One Day More versus I Dreamed a Dream. We're going to start at the top of the order, I guess. Bob, where are you on this one?
We haven't talked about it, but let's come around maybe afterwards. One Day More.
Okay. Curtis?
I think I'm going to say One Day More as well.
Okay. And Joelle?
Well, I look forward to talking about it in the next round because I also vote for One Day More.
Great. I'm going to make it a clean sweep. We can talk about it now, though. I think we should at least say something. So, Bob, do you have anything that you want to say about One Day More?
This is the moment in Act One. This is the culmination. This is everything converging and coming together in every storyline. It is that scene in the movie Magnolia where the frogs are falling, right?
Sure.
It is everything coming together in every emotion, every character, everybody's out there doing their thing and they are singing over one another. We've talked about that multiple times throughout this, that is just a really cool part of this show, that they do that so often, so well, and such a high level throughout the entire show with regards to you hear every single thing that is happening, but they are all singing on top of one another. The amount of direction for them to be able to be high and low throughout that so that you can hear the important parts of that song is incredible when it is executed well. I love characters. I love character development. I love character motivation. I just love lots of characters. So throw them all into this soup. And there I am with the best, but oh, we're not even to the final two yet. Sorry, with one of the best songs in the show.
You're good. Joelle, before you talk about One Day More, I have a question for you because you are our facts and figures person on this podcast. Is this the first time in musical theater where you have that right before Act One, that big thing where you have the overlaying themes all on top of each other for this big, like, ecstatic climax? Was Les Mis the first to do it or no?
I don't actually know the answer to that. Let's say yes. I have no idea. We'll have to look that one up. I'm curious because I don't know. I know that after that, everything did it, right? This is like Rent and, you know, like any end of Act One or beginning of Act Two.
Phantom definitely does it. Yeah.
It's very much a mega musical thing of the 80s, right?
Yes.
100% of product of the 80s, that mega musical vibe.
Yep. And I don't know if it was the first, but certainly it is one of the best examples of it. Curtis, anything more to say on One Day More?
No. I echo everything that Bob said.
Okay. Next, it is Empty Chairs at Empty Tables versus On My Own. Starting with Joelle, where are you?
Okay. I think Empty Chairs and Empty Tables has better lyrics. So I'm going to go with that.
Mm. Cool. All right. Curtis, where are you?
I'm going to echo something that I said earlier about emotional range. It would be very easy for Empty Chairs and Empty Tables to devolve into one note of either extreme anger or bereft sadness. But it is written in a way that takes you on this emotional journey of Marius, from the sorrow of having lost his friends to the hopefulness that they all shared in building a better tomorrow, to the anger that so many of them died for what is seemingly no reason, and then back to the bitter sadness of loss. And I genuinely love this song. It's a beautiful way to wrap up the storyline of the revolution aspect of the show. And Eric, I know you don't care for that, but I'm voting for it over on my own.
Can I actually backtrack? Because I didn't really think longer than a second on that one. And now that I've thought about it, I'm remembering how pivotal On My Own is in my memory of the show. And that character, that Eponine character, is truly heartbreaking. I realize there's a lot of like, girl, move on. But I didn't really think that way back when I first learned about her. And I was heartbroken watching this character just you know, destroy herself for someone. I never really liked the woman that played her in the Broadway
Frances
production.
Frances Ruffell.
Very pitchy. Not my favorite voice. Sorry to her.
Sorry to that woman.
But when I saw Samantha Barks perform in the movie and then perform in the concert and then perform in another thing, I absolutely, like, she is who I imagine that voice to be. Like, she embodied it perfect for me. Bob is shaking his head, so, you know, it is what it is. Opinions.
He loves Frances.
You're a big Frances stan.
If I'm going to pick, I'm going to take Leah Salonga any day of the week.
Oh, fair.
Oh,
fair.
Yeah,
but
so that's
he
fine,
is a stances. He is.
That's fine, too. We're a Disney family here. I understand.
So, just to clarify, you're with
I think I switched back to On My Own.
Okay. Bob, where are you? Empty Chairs versus On My Own.
It's picking between my children with this. It's so hard. And Empty Chairs and Empty Tables is my Broadway karaoke song, as I mentioned earlier. And I keep flipping back and forth in my head. And I think I had Empty Chairs going all the way. But God, I love Eponine so much. And I think I'm just going to throw it to On My Own.
Okay. I love all my children equally. I don't care much for Empty Chairs at Empty Tables. it's Male Pain versus Queen of Misery, always giving it to my ride or dies. It's On My Own for me. So I believe that's 3 for On My Own versus 1 for Empty Chairs, giving us a final 2 of One Day More versus On My Own, ODM versus OMO. I'm going to start right in the middle. Curtis, where are you?
One Day More is, I really think, one of the, if not the best, one of the best Act One closers of any musical ever made. It is an amazing collection of performances, but also like a very neat wrap up to all of the storylines to get you, like, it's a recap episode right there in the middle. It's just, and it's so well performed. I love Polyphony. Like Bob was saying, the different levels of a really, truly talented cast get you there. I'm going to vote for One Day More.
Polyphony Miserable for Drag Race season 17. Bob, where are you on this one?
Yeah, if I was going to choose the best ballad from Les Miserables, I'm probably going to pick On My Own. However, to just encapsulate the best song from Les Miserables, to feature all the characters, to feature, I agree with Curtis, there is very few Act One finales that come close to this and bring the fear, the feeling and the swell that you have from that. I think it has to be ODM. Is that what we're saying? ODM?
ODM.
I think, yeah, ODM. ODM.
Okay, ODM.
Joelle, where are you?
Well, I was just going to add to that. So this song, One Day More, is so, it's just iconic, for lack of better words, that everyone and their mother have parodied it, pulled it into their musical episodes of TV shows. It is inspiration across all of pop culture. South Park, The Simpsons, Sesame Street, Key and Peele, Gallivant, The Magicians, and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, just to name a few. Found that on TVTropes.com, so if I lied, I apologize. it's just that song. Everyone, if you think of Les Mis, sure, maybe some of I think of Eponine immediately and I think of Castle and Clouds and stuff, but this song is ultimately what you think of. And this song, you walk away, even after seeing all of Act Two, you walk away with this song still in your head. In fact, you could walk away at the end of Act One and not see all the sad stuff. Well, more.
I like that.
Really have a great it's experience. So true. I'm a big fan of good Act Ones and then weird Act Twos looking at you into the woods. so, yeah. I'm one day more for me, for sure.
I love that idea that you could walk out of the theater after listening to this song and be like, all those kids are going to be great. Everything works out. No one's going to die. Why are they so miserable? Everyone's having a great life. I love it.
You mean lay awesome. That's what we're
talking about. Awesome. Yeah. In all seriousness, I'm giving it to One Day More. It is, I joked earlier that, you know, how they're making love to one already dead. I'm dead inside. But this song made me feel things. It always has. It's an incredibly evocative piece of music that doesn't just do its job, which is to get you ramped up for Act Two. It excels it, and it becomes something more than just a song. It is a statement, and it is incredibly moving. So there you have it, folks. Our pick for the best Les Miserables song is One Day More. Do you agree? Do you think we should take these silver candlesticks and look at our lives, look at our choices? Tell us how you really feel by leaving a comment on this episode at greatpopculturedebate.com, or find us on Instagram, Facebook, Mastodon, or TikTok. While you're there, make sure you subscribe and follow the podcast so you can hear about what new debates are coming soon, vote in open polls, and even decide which topics we tackle next. If you really enjoyed the episode, please take a minute to like and rate the episode of the podcast on Spotify, Apple, or whatever platform you listen on. I want to say thank you to my panel. You made this debate anything but miserable. And thank you for listening. If you loved what you heard, please consider supporting us on Patreon, where you can get even more exclusive content and you get episodes a whole day early. We hope you have a good one. And remember, everyone is entitled to their wrong opinion. Hashtag DishPiz.
Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy, interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit caneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.